Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train in your Four Seasons Penske truck. Captain's Log, Craig Mish, who has really become the authority on the John Carlos Stanton Cardinals, Giants, Dodgers discussions, will join us at 8 o'clock on the appliance discounter phone line.
He does know. He's been doing a great job with that. And the latest is I saw that he put sort of percentages on it, and he was like, San Francisco, the Dodgers, and the Cardinals. Right?
Got the Cardinals in third place there.
Yeah.
The Giants, I think, 40%. The Dodgers, 35%, and the Cardinals, 25%. Those were the percentages.
Well, boy, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I did my part. I went out on my own and secured a free one-year lease on a 2018 Kia Optima for Stanton, should he come to St. Louis.
You think that'll swing the
tide? It's a pot sweetener, no question.
And I guess the Cardinals are down to 0% chance of getting the Japanese sensation Shohei Ohtani. He has ruled him out.
Well, that's because they didn't have money in their international budget after spending elsewhere. But yes, he has ruled them out.
Yeah.
So the Giants are in the mix for both Ohtani and Stanton.
Yeah, and the Mariners too, and the Dodgers. What if the Dodgers get Stanton and Ohtani?
Well, they would be unloading others.
Well, yeah, but they'd love to unload the others.
And the Cardinals apparently are in talks with the Rays about that reliever, possibly
Colome,
possibly a third baseman,
Longoria.
Yeah,
that doesn't excite me.
Well, you look at his numbers; they're not that exciting.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, his numbers and contract aren't that exciting.
Have you seen any video of this Ohtani?
Yeah,
seen him.
He looks to be the real deal.
It's clocked it up to 103 miles an hour.
Give me an example of a Japanese player who's come to the big leagues and dealt with the greatest that we can deal with here in the Western Hemisphere.
Ichiro Suzuki?
I don't understand.
Well, it'll be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't understand.
Okay. There haven't been any, Tim.
Yes. One of the first was Hideki Irabu.
I remember him.
The Yankees signed him, and he was supposedly, you know, some of the stories were a little bit fantasy. He throws 115 miles an hour. and when he got there, he did throw like 100. He put on a little weight and then was just a guy, but there was a big to-do about him. But this guy looks to be special.
Oh, he really does. Supposedly he's got 5 pitches.
And let's not forget, the final boss was very good for a season here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good last year.
No. Well, some of these guys were getting kind of at the tail end of their careers. This guy's 23 and supposedly just the best player that's ever come out of Japan. He's going to be a snootful.
You think it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out?
I think it will be. And I'm worried that the Dodgers are going to get him and Stanton.
No, we'll get Longoria and we'll be fine.
Right.
Well,
you can text in 855-282-8255. You can call in on the very same number, 855-282-8255. The program will be broadcasting live from Filoni's tomorrow. A rare morning remote. Tuesday, December 5th marks 84 years since the end of Prohibition, so join Budweiser and 590 The Fan at Filoni's for a repeal celebration. Starting at 7, we'll be live at Filoni's, and they will open early to serve breakfast for you. 590 The Fan will broadcast live throughout the day and hand out great prizes, starting with 5 different ticket packs for the 2018 Cardinal season. Also, the first 100 listeners who bring an unwrapped toy or cash donation for Friends of Kids with Cancer enjoy a unique offer. They can purchase the limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager at Filoni's for the price it cost in 1933. That's 10 cents. 590 The Fan plus Anheuser-Busch present the Budweiser Repeal Party at Filoni's on December 5th, starting with our program and breakfast at 7 a.m. That is tomorrow. Come on by. The water is
warm.
Good. The water's good. Are we to bring an unwrapped toy? Is that I was trying to decipher that as you were reading.
Yes.
Unwrapped toy.
That's right.
All right. I always like to help those.
All right.
Right. What's better than getting a kid a toy for
nothing,
Christmas?
Nothing. That's the best.
And we're also going to be unveiling, as I understand it, our brand new Team TMA jumpsuits that we're going to wear just for remotes.
Yeah.
Like Elvis? Elvis used to wear?
Well, as part of our branding, we thought if we're going to be making a public appearance, we should look the team that we are.
So we're all wearing matching jumpsuits.
Yeah, I don't forget the color. Tim was in charge of picking the color.
All black everything, black cards, black with sequins, everything.
That might be a nice little thing for us to do. Kind of get our own identity. Every time we come in here, we slip into the jumpsuits.
Branding is important.
I suppose it is. You got to be known for something. It might as well be jumpsuits. Be better than the current suit of clothes we're wearing.
Do you think the Cardinals have waited until today to announce a trade for Stanton as a gift for the cat's birthday? Happy birthday, the cat.
Oh.
That's our beer cats.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Beer cats, why? How do you know?
He's got intel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy birthday, yo.
Are you doing anything special?
Yeah, we're going to have a little celebration at the house later on.
Oh, really?
What
you finna do?
Probably some cake, presents.
Nice. Cake and presents.
Yeah. Boy, it's nice. When you turn 55, that's the point where you're like, yeah, I'm nearing the end. You know?
That's what it is? Yeah, 55 it hits you?
55.
Well past middle age.
Yeah.
You're not living to 110.
Yeah. Not necessarily. There's a gentleman in Japan, I believe, who's like a buck 11.
That's a phony birth certificate.
I'm also toying with the idea just going into cryogenics at age 57. You know, just trying to beat the curve.
Yeah. Freeze it up.
I don't have a lot going on anyway. Might as well start the freezing process now.
When would you want to come back and be thawed out?
Once the Cardinals get Stanton.
That could be just a couple of days.
Thaw me out, boys.
All right.
Doug, do you think the Cardinals are going to get him?
No. No, I don't. I don't think they're going to get him.
Who are they going to get?
Where do you think he's going to go?
I think he'll probably go to the Dodgers. I think he's going to go wherever the hell he wants to go.
I agree with you, and here's why. The Dodgers were sort of, and we're going by what we're told by Mitch, who's been good on this, but the Dodgers were sort of out there. Yeah, he wants to play, but they don't want the luxury tax. They don't seem to be too interested. All of a sudden, they're players again. I don't think it's coincidental that that's where apparently Stanton wants to play. So,
why do you say they're players again? I'm not doing it in a radio challenge. Well, I didn't get the indication that they
didn't
were players.
Mitch suddenly make them. Didn't he list them ahead of the Cardinals?
He did,
suddenly? And so that's what I'm going on. They were.
Well, I think
they were also Rans, kind of.
I think the intel is that he just simply wants to go there, and might say no to everything unless it's L.A.
Right. Well,
and then the L.A. You know, Ken Rosenthal had a really good story on this. Now you have to be a subscriber to The Athletic. But he posted it last night, and he said that the situation for Stanton is he could just wait through 2018, play in Miami, and then the Dodgers situation would be a hell of a lot different because the Dodgers have a bunch of contracts that just are junk.
That's why I put out the picture of his penthouse. You're not putting a gun to that guy's head saying, oh, you're going to play with scrubs for a year. He's making a ton of money. He's in a beautiful place, and he can play the waiting game. But the reason I said that is if that's his chosen destination, I think, Mitch is kind of connected to the Florida side. My guess would be
very much so.
That there's some movement from the Dodgers in terms of at least making an attempt to plan something to make it happen.
One of the more amusing elements of this whole story is watching Craig Mish and John Heyman subtweet each other. Because Mish will post something and then Heyman will like have a response, but then not mention Mish, and they go back and forth. And essentially, Mish will report something, and Mish is a new guy. You know, you have only Rosenthal, Heyman, Cal May, but now Mish has clearly had the angle on this story dating back to the summer, and I think it's kind of irritating, at least Heyman. And so last night's story was Mish tweeted out that the expectation from a source is that this will be over in 2 to 3 days. And then Heyman on FanRag Sports wrote, there are reports right now that this will be over in 2 to 3 days. But sources close to the situation say that is being very optimistic. So they just kind of go back and forth. And I think it's a case of Mish has a source. This is theorizing. Mish has a source on the inside with the Marlins or with Stanton, but he can't tie it directly to Stanton. And then Heyman has a source with one of the organizations, and it could be somebody in the Marlins, because I'm starting to think that Mish might actually have a tie to Stanton, whether it be himself or one of his agents. That's my read based on what he has been reporting throughout this whole thing. And then Heyman also, to his credit, is the one and the only one who has reported that Stanton was actually at both the meetings with the Giants on Thursday night and the Cardinals on Friday night.
Oh, I didn't even see that, because the other reports said he wasn't.
Yeah, it was just his agent or agents.
His representative team.
And it was Heyman. He tweeted something out this weekend that made me chuckle. He said something to the effect of Stanton met with the Cardinals and would be interested in playing in St. Louis, but I don't know this for sure.
Yeah, I did see that. What a strange. I mean,
well, everyone just wants to tweet out something, and I see a lot of people kind of tweeting based on the tweets that everyone else read.
Yeah, well,
don't jump in.
But that's why I'm saying with Craig, he has said and then attributed or explained that it is his opinion. But things change. The landscape changes. It's a negotiation, so therefore terms will change. But yes, when you see the tit for tat thing, or as we reported last week, this is nothing new to kind of cover your tracks. It's just whatever.
I was going to tweet
glad
out.
I don't do that for a living because I understand doing it, but it's, you know,
would this be a good
transparent
tweet? Source very close to the Cardinals negotiations when asked about the Stanton talks, leave me alone. I might tweet that out.
Did you see text him to say a lot?
Leave me alone.
So what do you suppose they're waiting for right now?
Who's they?
All sides. What are they? They're waiting for Stanton to decide?
Yeah, I think so.
Or waiting for the Marlins to make a decision on which of the offers they want and then present it to Stanton?
My theory on where it stands right now is they have deals from the Giants and the Cardinals they would accept. The ball's in Stanton's court. He doesn't want to move to St. Louis. And for the record, if he were to, I'm doing the thing where you just kind of like argue with like the 0.3% of the audience, and it's a disservice to the other 99.7, but he would not just live in St. Louis for 81 days for the record. That's not how it works. So along those lines, if he does not want to live here, doesn't want to live here, there's nothing the Cardinals can do about it. But my theory is it's on the table if he would want the Giants or the Cardinals, but because he has the gun in the negotiation, he is waiting to see if the Dodgers can work something out to bring him in. And if they can't, then he will decide on the Cardinals, Giants, or just staying in Miami.
I agree with that. And I think his desire to play in LA makes the Dodgers players. I don't think they have final deals in place. I think they have the basics of deals. And that once Stanton makes his determination, they'll finalize it and get it done. But I agree with Tim. I think the gun that Stanton has, that Tim referred to, is what makes the Dodgers players.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think so, too. If I'm Stanton, I'm not sure I understand why this has to be done in the next few days. I mean, it's only early December. Why does he have to be the first move of the offseason?
He doesn't.
Why doesn't he just wait until, you know, 2 or 3 months from now see if the Dodgers do some other things to clear up some payroll
that could hold it up.
They can go there.
The timeline, like after the GM meetings, I don't know if you saw people tweeting about it, probably not reporters, but if they didn't get the Stanton deal done at the GM meetings, then there was no chance that the Cardinals were going to get him. That like was an artificial deadline. No one, I don't know anyone that thought it was going to happen then.
Right, he's got the next, how much longer is this contract, 7 or 8 years? He's got most of his career still ahead of him, so and there's no reason for him to say, yeah, we got to get this done now.
And that, to me, that's a compelling point. This is a long contract. I know he has the opt-out, but if you don't want to play in a certain city, and I want him to come to St. Louis, but if he doesn't want to play here, this isn't just like, well, you must not want to win. This is a long-term commitment to living in a certain area.
Yeah, I don't like when I read that, but I don't get involved in arguing about it. But it's
you know,
it's his life.
It's his life.
And it's not a 2-year contract. You know, I mean, the chances are he's going to be at the city that he signs with for a long time. And if you're Stanton, you're like, yeah, I don't want to play there, and this is not an easy thing for me. I want to play here.
And
I want
to
play where I want
to
play.
To get this no trade clause, it's your life, as you said. I don't know if I would necessarily say the chances are, but it's certain, because that indicates that it's likely, but it's certainly a healthy percentage that this is where he spends the remainder of his career if he were not able to put up numbers so good that he would want to opt out. So that's a real thing. And that is an indication of a negative trait from my standpoint. You know,
from the Cardinals' perspective, it's unfortunate that Stanton grew up 14 or 15 miles away from Dodger Stadium. And then that has such an attractive allure for him to go back home. You know, had he grown up in western Kansas or North Dakota somewhere, maybe he'd think St. Louis would be a great place to play. But L.A. is kind of tough competition. So is San Diego. When you're talking about a guy who's going to spend the next, who knows, maybe the rest of his life in a certain city, certainly half of his career or more, that's the competition that St. Louis is up against, Los Angeles and San Francisco.
He still lives there, actually.
Maybe this will turn out
Hollywood Hills.
Maybe this will turn out like Jim Kelly in the Buffalo Bills. Doug, if you remember, he had zero interest and dodged going to Buffalo and then wound up being a hero of Buffalo. And I think that is that's what this story is going
to
turn out.
Well, if Verlander didn't want to go to the Astros, and he went, and it worked out very well. I think all these, Stanton, if you're listening, and I know he streams a lot.
Yeah, he does.
We think it'll work out very well for you. I've already got comparable properties to the place you're living right now in the Kirkwood, Fenton, Rock Hill areas.
I don't think
so. You
Rock
have your
Hill.
Choice. You have your choice of those three. I got one of them is a really nice, recently updated ranch with a fire pit in the back. With a fire pit in the back.
And you got this for him.
Well, I mean, he'll have to pay for it, but I've already listed the comparables. I have a Kia Optima free lease 2018 that's right there. He can have that free. I'm doing my part to make this happen.
I didn't know you were doing
all
this.
No, I'm getting involved. I also had tried to contact John Hamm, and I was going to fly over, get him, and then go recruit Stanton. Just me and Hamm. We need Hollywood, and I don't have Hamm's number or the money to fly.
No.
So I'm trying to get that worked out.
You had a GoFundMe going on that. There have been some players who have come here and probably, much to their surprise, years later decided, yeah, I'm going to stay here. Ozzie Smith would be one. I think Matt Holliday liked it here a lot. I don't know.
McGuire loved it. I mean, so much so that, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that.
There have been some people that have stayed here. So it's, you know, it's not like we're the worst place in the world to live. I don't think it has much of a reputation. When in other parts of the country, you wouldn't think, let's go to St. Louis or let's go to Cleveland or let's go to Detroit. But when you're here, you realize this is a pretty nice place to live.
But if you were the head of the recruiting team and you went there and you said, hey, we're not the worst place in the world to live.
Right.
You want to drop that way down.
Oh, that's the headline.
You want to talk about the salt and smoked brisket or other things.
Hey,
first.
Stanton, come to St. Louis. We're not the worst place to live.
Nice. No, speaking of salt and smoke, it is the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And we will talk this over with Craig Mish, who has been all over it, and he will join us at 8 o'clock on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Why does he have the Giants at 40% likely to sign or trade for Stanton? The Dodgers, 35%, and the Cardinals at 25%. And why does he think this will be wrapped up within the next 48 hours? All of that to come at 8 o'clock on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, which you can call into 855-282-8255 or text in 855-282-8255. Cub Talk. Any overlap between the St. Louis team that negotiated the dome lease and the Marlins front office? They seem to have similar approaches to negotiations.
Yeah.
I don't think they have all their ducks in a row, so to say.
So you're putting this on Derek Jeter? Well, he's certainly not making a lot of friends in his
I've noticed that,
there.
And I'm going to do my official Colin Cowherd, I'll be interesting, or at least attempt to contrarian take. It's not like the Miami Marlins have really been doing a whole lot right since 2003. It's a complete disaster outside of bilking a community into building them another ballpark.
No, it's a matter of opinion.
So sometimes you got to be the unpopular guy to get things done the right way. And so I'm not saying that Jeter is doing the right things. I just know that over the last 14 years, the Marlins haven't been doing too many of them.
No. So, the one thing he did that it's hard to justify is slashing all those former Marlins who were part of the program and did a lot of charitable work and made a lot of appearances. Andre Dawson and Jeff Conine and some of these people, he fired all of them.
I get that, but...
I don't think that was a real wise thing to do if you're trying to ingratiate yourself to the community.
If the edict from your majority partner is we have to slash, which clearly is what's going on based on what our main story has been around here, then you have to do it. If you're just paying Andre Dawson and Tony Perez and Jeff Conine, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to just essentially be ambassadors to a community that in the whole scheme of things isn't that excited about them anyway.
No, I think they paid them 100 and now they're cutting them to 10.
Well, they're not, they all left.
Yeah, they all left because they were cutting them from like 100.
10. I thought it was a few hundred.
But just, well, you cut one or two players and that's so much more than any of the other little stuff you could cut.
Agree, but the truth is, if you're them, you're probably in a financial mess right now. They've already said they're looking for an investor with $250 million. That tells you that they're not on solid footing financially.
It almost sounds like these guys don't have the money to run a major league team.
Whoa.
Because if you can barely afford it, then you probably can't afford it.
I'd take that sculpture in center field that they got, and I'd auction that off. If you get $200 for it, fine. Tote it out of here.
Doug, do you think part of the Cardinal pitch to Stanton included the proximity of the Lake of the Ozarks once the Hyperloop is built? Thanks. That's from Johnny Coppertone.
Well, the Hyperloop's not going down to the lake, is it? I thought it's just going straight to Kansas City.
No, I thought it was just to the lake. I think you have that wrong.
I don't think so. Supposedly you can get from St. Louis to Kansas City in 20 minutes.
Yes,
that's really moving in a tube.
There's a lot of
when is that going to be ready? Summer?
I don't know. But I wouldn't want to get in it.
There's a lot of Fortune 500 companies that are like, if we could just figure out a way to get from St. Louis to Kansas City, our business would triple.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get there in 20 minutes.
And supposedly it's going to cost as much as an airline ticket.
Nice. And this is ready. What did you say, summer?
They haven't even started it yet.
Has it been approved?
I don't think so. No. No.
Do we need a Hyperloop between the two
cities? I'd rather have one than not have one. It's going to be there someday. You know, someday in the future, there'll be stuff like that. We may as well be the first. And we'll let you drive right on it a few times to make sure it's safe. I'm not
getting
what are some
you saying?
Dirt
yeah, it sounds like he wants you to be a crash test.
I'm not going to some tube that's going 600 miles an hour.
You said tube, and that will be mentioned on the text line in any second.
Why is that? Because like gerbils go in tubes?
I'll leave that to Plowsy, who doesn't seem to be that engaged this morning.
Yeah, he isn't. You can judge the engagement in the first half hour of the show based on the number of drops. And if it's anything less than four, you know, it's going to be a dropless day.
Something on your mind there, Plowsy? Okay.
Everything all right, baby?
Would you be the first one to ride the Hyperloop?
No, and I think I read that story and I messed it up on the air saying it could get from New York to St. Louis in 25 minutes.
Yeah,
remember when he calculated it would go like 2,500 miles an hour or something like that.
Twice the speed of sound.
Yeah, so I was wrong.
Hey, we have this great technology, the first of its kind in the world. Where should we put it? Oh, we should connect St. Louis to another major city. We're flyover territory.
I think the reasoning was that would be an easy stretch because of the geography and the...
Oh, topography?
Population involved.
What about the bottomography?
Lord.
Something, Joe.
Has Stanton heard of Party Cove? If not, we aren't really selling them. Thanks. That's from Curtis Sanford's Greasy Five Hole.
No, I don't like that name. Well, they have lured an awful lot of baseball's very best players to St. Louis. They have. So to say that we have no chance, I think, is probably wrong. I mean, the Cardinals have got nothing to apologize about for their history of getting some of the best players in the world here.
Sounds like rights holder rigmarole.
In this case, it's kind of different because it's not just a free agent. It's a guy who has a right to, you know, veto any trade.
Shut up, ravioli head.
Do we have the drop? Because remember, Matt Holliday said, even though he's not sure where he's going to be playing this year, he wants to play again. And I had him on the podcast, and I didn't ask him that, but someone else on Sirius Radio did, and they got all kinds of national attention because of that. So I thought I'm going to try to get national attention by asking Lance Lynn, even though he's going to be playing elsewhere, not in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Would he recruit? Do we have that?
Yes, we do.
There's
right,
what
right
Lance Lynn said. I thought he was going to say, I'll recruit.
Doug, this is the Cat Chat, and it will appear on Wednesday with Lance Lynn on the Inside STL Podcast Network. Take a listen.
Call me Kitty Cat.
I don't want to impose on you, but Matt Holliday said he would actually go and help the Cardinals recruit Stanton. Will you do the same?
I'm going to be playing for someone else. I don't know what Matt's plans are. I think he plans on playing for someone else. So
he does.
I'm not recruiting anyone anywhere unless I sign with someone, and then I'll recruit him to come play with me because he hits 60 homers a year.
That's reasonable.
It's great.
Has he had any feelers from other clubs?
Very slow. Very slow at this point.
It's slow all over baseball, and I guess the Stanton thing is holding up a lot of
Stanton
it.
Stanton and Ohtani, no question about it. I mean, I've said it a couple of times, but Derek Gould wrote an article right after the World Series about the Cardinals' strategy this offseason, and paraphrasing John Mozeliak, said if we have to act quickly for a closer, we're willing to do that. And if that means, you know, pre-November 20th, I'm now citing the Brett Cecil signing of last year, then so be it. Doug, I've got it as December 4th, Jack, and minus the Fister signing that you were...
Right, I'm tired of you sleeping on Fister.
There has been no activity. I didn't see this. I don't know if either one of you saw it. Producer Joe was not a fan of Chuckle's CFP takes on Saturday. Reminded me of the Matt Seebeck confrontation this past Easter. Also took a shot at Doug while he was at it. I don't know what any of this is about.
I was hoping
one of the other five of you fine gentlemen had seen it, because I don't know.
That apparently, look, I don't get as emotional about college football as you guys. I know wagering
Geneseo State won the Rose Bowl in 78.
And I know you guys that went to Missouri are happy because there was a turnaround.
Right.
And I'm very happy about that. But right, I don't get as emotionally attached to some of the bigger programs like Charlie, Ohio State, et cetera. So I saw him and Joe going back on it.
Well, what was the argument? I guess I'll have to look at this now.
Charlie said something about some team was a playoff team de facto. They were a de facto team. And all I did, I weighed in and said, I don't think Doug would appreciate you using the word de facto.
No, I wouldn't like that at
and
all.
And somehow, next thing you know, I'm linked into this. All I said was, Doug would say, don't use the word de facto.
That's correct.
I spoke
You're right.
Yeah. That's all I know.
I just see Joe bitching about the officiating. Oh, now I see it.
I'm the dumb one. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should know better.
And Bob Ramsey's in it? Bob Ramsey, I didn't know it even tweeted.
He got in the argument? What are we arguing about?
All right, let me see. Bucci Main tweeted, Doug, do you know him?
I don't know Bucci.
John Buchagross.
Oh, okay, sure.
You ever do Bucci's overtime challenge?
No.
Okay. He tweeted, today is why I wouldn't expand the college football playoff. Today is playoff football. And then some debate and mystery and unanswered questions. It's fun and insane, and why college football is currently the best. Don't change a thing. Charlie said, I agree with this. 8 to 9 teams still have a chance to make the CFP. No need to expand. Today's games are the playoffs. And then producer Joe responded, here we go. Except Bama isn't playing today, but could play in the semis. That isn't how playoffs work. Charlie, who was the Badger? Was he Nick?
I believe he was the Badger.
Charlie responded, I included Bama in those 8 to 9 teams. Producer Joe, but then followed up with, today's games are the playoffs. Both statements can't be true. Charlie, we've had de facto playoff games for weeks. Losses have knocked teams out of playoff consideration and will again today. Now the cat enters the discussion.
As I tend to do, getting them off track.
Doug wouldn't like the use of the word de facto. So now, Doug, you're...
And I'm right.
He's absolutely right.
I spoke for you, but correctly. Sure did. Okay.
I appreciate you butting into the conversation.
At Prod Joe responds to the cat, Doug probably doesn't notice this conversation. He's busy liking and retweeting political tweets.
Yes. That's true. I'm more interested in that than college football playoffs.
Now here's Bob Ramsey. Bob Ramsey is involved.
Oh, hello, Rammer.
Is this a real account? Never know what's a parody. Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
It's CS, like 5,000 followers. Not a de facto playoff because there are no auto bids like college hoops. It can often work out that way, but it is not a satisfying substitute. Next topic.
Oh, wow. That's the debate is over.
That's like you may step down.
Yeah. Whatever.
And then producer Joe writes, bingo.
And that's where it ended?
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so that didn't strike me as that big of a deal.
Okay.
I don't know. Joe, I don't know if Joe is... You can tell when Joe has a nip of the cooking sherry and then he gets a hold of his Twitter account.
A little angry.
Yeah. So I don't know. But that was in the morning, I think, because the games hadn't started up. But Did you think Alabama or Ohio State should get in, and are you happy with what has transpired?
I thought Alabama would get in just because they're Alabama, and sometimes Saban wants things. You have to give it to him. But I think they're probably better than Ohio State anyway, if you're being honest about it.
I think Ohio State got screwed here. I thought Alabama would get in because they're Alabama.
And Saban wants what he
gets. When you can't even win your division of your conference, much less your conference, and you're one of the top four teams, I don't think that works.
So how do you explain Ohio State not winning their division
last
year?
Iowa.
I'm not talking about this year. Last year, Penn State won their conference and didn't get in, but Ohio State got in last year.
I would like to see the conference champions get in.
I couldn't agree with you.
I would like to see eight teams. The five power conference champions are in, three at large teams, and you could take a team. USC could be in there. UCF 12-0 could be one of the at large teams. Wisconsin maybe should be in there.
See, I agree with you 100%. I couldn't agree with you more.
And it'd be more interesting to watch the games than some of these lame bowl games we'll be watching a week before. It would be rough on these teams, I guess, to add another game because some of these teams are going to be playing three more playoff games.
And here's the thing that I think now, because now you have 4 years of a sample size to analyze and try and figure out what the committee is observing, although the committee isn't like frozen in time. Members come and go. But a good loss is different than a bad loss. In other words, a good win, in other words, by that I mean just winning, is not as valuable as beating the hell out of a team. Right. And if you just lose, it's okay. But if you lose by a lot, it's a problem. And for example, I would suggest that had Ohio State kept up the pace they were on in the early going against Wisconsin, where it looked like there was a chance they were going to run them off the field like they did in 2014, 58-0, then I think Ohio State gets in. Now, I could be wrong on that. They could have been holding on to what took place in Iowa City a month ago, no matter what. And that's
I was thinking the same thing as I watched that game.
That if they run them off the field, they're going to get in?
Yes.
But as it went along, and this is what Kirk Herbstreit said right afterwards, because the game he was calling, this was not a surprise. Actually, I don't know really what was a surprise. I suppose Auburn losing by 21, but again, the Kerryon Johnson thing, such a huge factor in that. But I mean, the vast majority of people were all over Oklahoma against TCU. I took TCU against Logic just because I had a weird feeling about it. My weird feelings don't work either. I'm picking everything wrong. But everybody was on, I think everybody was on Clemson. I mean, the vast majority of people were also on Clemson. And that wasn't a surprise. So what Herbstreit was saying was our game was over after a couple of plays. And so we in the booth were watching Ohio State and Wisconsin. And Ohio State just didn't look like a great team. There's a misnomer out there, though, and I think it's because it's Alabama, that Alabama worked over all of their opposition this year. And that's just factually not true. It's just not true. Now, should it matter? That's in the eye of the beholder, and I suppose when it gets down to it, the committee. But I was reading a piece on ESPN.com. I was not familiar with the author, and it wasn't Heather Dinich, but it was another female writer for ESPN. And she said the facts are that Alabama dominated their opposition this year. And they only won by either 7 or 8 at Texas A&M. They nearly lost in Starkville. And they did lose in Auburn. And it's kind of similar to the game against LSU that Alabama controlled but didn't blow them off the field. Auburn controlled that game against Alabama. And didn't blow them off the field, depending on your version of blown off the field. And another thing about this that to me, if I'm a college football coach or an athletic director, I don't schedule anybody in non-conference. Because Ohio State's only loss was Iowa. And yes, 31 points, but it was Iowa. And they were Big Ten champions. I believe Ohio State's playing for the national championship. And so what is your incentive to play Oklahoma, or in Alabama's case, Florida State? They wound up getting a different Florida State team than they anticipated with the injury to Francois. But nonetheless, what is your incentive? What is your reward?
None.
Because that's the thing.
There's no incentive.
That's my point.
And so teams all over the country, teams like Missouri, wind up playing Idaho and Connecticut and Missouri State in non-conference. And this is all the teams are doing this. So we get four non-conference games that nobody cares about. Half-empty stadiums. The competition is not level. It's not good for anybody.
Well, not all the teams are doing it because Ohio State and Oklahoma did play.
Yeah, they
USC
played,
and Notre Dame play every year. Alabama game. And Florida State. But man, Ohio State, to their credit, and Oklahoma, they are going out of their way to schedule. And the SEC has set an edict for every member of the conference that they have to play a Power 5 non-conference team every year. So you can't load it up with the Bill Snyder specials. But with that said, it is relevant. I mean, USC also played Texas in addition to Notre Dame, and granted, Texas is bad this year, but they still did go and play Texas, and they play Notre Dame, a non-conference opponent, as a rival every single year. So these things, to me, I agree with you, Doug, 100%.
It just seems like it solves every problem that's out there.
Here's the one thing that it doesn't solve, and I'll get into Dan Wetzel's piece, which I would recommend if you're a big college football fan, on what his version of the solution is. But mine is the following, essentially exactly what you said, because one of the best parts of college football, there's two things that separate college football, in my opinion anyway, from the others of college basketball, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and NFL. And that is one bad weekend, one bad game can end your season. Essentially, Ohio State's season ended if you're counting seeking a championship. And for me, that's what it is. I don't pleasure myself to exhibition games after the regular season. I know a lot of boosters do. I know it's a big deal to go on trips and hang out with friends this year in Houston for Missouri fans. I personally don't really care. I like that it helps recruiting and you can practice. I get that. I think it's a total money grab, and to act like it matters is really just something I can't buy into. But if it works for others, God bless them. So if your goal is a championship, one weekend can destroy it. I like that because the regular season has more importance in college football than any other sport. But with that said, one of the core issues is that you also have debate. And I think the debate, as frustrating as it can be, puts college football on the map more so than other sports where you just get in. So by keeping the debate of who the three at-large teams would be in joining the five conference champions, you maintain that element and then also allow the committee to, which would determine the three at-larges, determine the seeding. And what I would like to see is the bowls continue, because again, you have to compromise for what is pragmatic. And by that, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Bernie Sanders, for example, came up with a bunch of ideas, but if they actually were going to be implemented, all hell would break loose. And in reality, they weren't going to be implemented anyway, but they sounded good. And so if you're going to put something on the table as actual potential legislation, it has to actually have a real chance of taking place. My point being, the bowls are not going to surrender their relevance to the process. And that's where I differ with what Dan Wetzel put out there. And I'll tell you what he put out there in his column late last night. But that is, the quarterfinals are the bowl games, just like the semifinals right now are the bowl games. And then have another round, which also could be bowl games, the following weekend, whatever the next weekend would be, with a healthy amount of space, i.e. if New Year's Day were on a Wednesday, you wouldn't have the game that Saturday. It would be the following Saturday. And then play the college football championship on the weekend in between the AFC-NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, which is the deadest weekend in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And that only adds one more game for four schools and two more games for two schools. That's it. That's always been the argument against it. It also allows you to keep the dollars on the table. What Wetzel has suggested is to get rid of the conference championship games, have the five conference champions play on this past weekend along with three at-large teams, and if there is an undefeated non-Power 5 in, which is ranked in either the top 10 or top 15, this is a loose outline of a plan that Wetzel wrote, then that team, such as UCF this year, Western Michigan last year, would get in. Now,
but how would you have conference Without a conference championship game, how are you going to have conference championship?
And that's exactly, we're having a big same page, 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Design Air. The number one train deal in the most, it's hard to stop train. So the answer to that is they could work that out. That's an important detail. That's an important detail.
One team's just going to back off. Sure, we had the same record, but you go ahead and
what do you
play.
Like aggregate scoring, like with goals on the road? I mean, that's a real issue. But what I would suggest is that you have conference championships injected with actual importance as opposed to what they are right now. If Ohio State wins by 30, for example, on Saturday night, I think they're in. Now, the committee may say otherwise. I think they're in. As a matter of fact, I would have been shocked if they didn't get in, if they ran Wisconsin off the field, an undefeated number four team in the country, to go with beating Penn State, to go with beating the hell out of Michigan State. I would have been shocked by that, but who knows? We'll never know. But this way, you have five objective ways to get in. Every school can control its own destiny. Every school can control its own destiny. And then three subjective to allow for debate, and then the debate on the seedings. Wetzel also suggests, and here's why, again, this is kind of and this isn't to pick on Bernie Sanders. I'm sure you can take a Republican candidate and say she was proposing something that was asinine. Whatever. My point is this.
Yeah, that's never happened.
Of course. My point is this. He said that you would have the eight teams play on campuses on the weekend of conference championship weekend, which would go away, and it'd be the first round of the playoffs. So, for example, and it's very tidy this year, Clemson would have hosted UCF, Auburn would have hosted USC, Oklahoma would have hosted Georgia, and Wisconsin would have hosted Alabama based on the pre-conference championship rankings. But that then takes five huge games, actually, when you include the other conference that wouldn't be in, away from those cities, and then you take away those dollars and you put them on a campus. So I think you keep the conference championship, and then the four teams, or the eight teams that emerge from that, then are playing in bowl games that have absurd relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would then have the CFP semifinals take place on the Saturday of the AFC-NFC championship game, and then the national championship takes place the following weekend in between the conference championship and the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Why would people? This is what I don't understand. You guys may know better than me. But I always hear that would add games. That, you know, it couldn't be handled by the student athletes or the program.
One more game.
It doesn't make sense. And I've seen 1AA football where they have, I think, a 16-team tournament, and it works. And, yeah, there are extra games. And in 1AA, they play, you know, at some of the schools that have the higher seeds. So this would be a little different. But they work it out. And to me, if you want to, I agree, you need debate because that helps fuel the popularity of a sport or makes an event seem more important. But let's have a debate against teams that are farther down the trough as opposed to a team who should be one of the four that didn't get in. This gives, like Tim said, a chance for more teams to control their own destiny. And teams that don't traditionally get in, lets them get in. I'm for it.
I am too. I think it solves virtually every problem that's on the table right now.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why that won't happen. And that's not to say that it won't or why it isn't happening. And perhaps this first step was simply a first step. Because I really feel like that is, and then people go, well, then you'll debate who's 8 and 9. Okay, that's the point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But right now.
But isn't it better to debate a team 8 and 9 as opposed to a team that really should be in the four, but isn't?
Number one has never won the national championship. Which is surprising. Again, you only have 3 years to look back on, and now
I think
you're in
the
fourth.
Will this year.
You think Clemson will?
No. Yeah,
see, I kind of feel like Alabama's getting healthy, and that's actually going to be a hell of a battle. I mean, the spread is. And then, God, I just want to bang my head against the wall when people tweet out, well, see, Alabama's favorite, or Alabama would be favored against Ohio State. That's irrelevant. That's based on perception of the marketplace. It has nothing to do with the actual the Dallas Cowboys, for example, oftentimes have their line based on the public's love of or hate of the Dallas Cowboys. Notre Dame, these are public teams. That is absolutely irrelevant. And therefore, you could put Alabama up against the 2002 Miami Hurricanes, and Alabama somehow would be favored. It's irrelevant to the discussion. It's a cute tweet. It'll get you a lot of likes. But as far as truth goes, there isn't a whole lot there. So, fun fact for no one tell on how that whole that whole deal.
I would hope they would never consider getting rid of the conference championship games. These are some of the best games of the year.
Well, the problem is when you take a look at them right now is you have teams penalized for playing. So Oklahoma had to beat a team it beat 3 weeks ago in order to get in, at least theoretically. And Auburn had to beat a team that it beat the hell out of 3 weeks ago to get in, and they didn't. And so they're out, and now they're playing effing UCF.
Yeah, I just like the whole setup the way it is now. I just don't think there's enough teams in the playoff. Give me one more round of playoffs to eight, and I'd be happy with
I just
all
feel
of
like
them.
If you have five conference champions, and then on the occasional years, and now it's happened 25% of the time, one out of four, where you have two from the same conference, which I don't think is wrong, but then you have two conference champions on the outside looking in. And therefore, again, you combine objective with subjective. Five conference champions get in, three at-larges, and the committee seeds. The bowls are the quarterfinals. The semifinals take place on the Saturday before the AFC-NFC championship game, and the championship game is on the Saturday or Sunday in between the AFC-NFC championship and the Super Bowl.
And four bowls that are right now meaningless become very meaningful, and instead of having half-empty stadiums, you have 80,000 people in these stadiums. The TV networks make more money, and you don't have to schedule cream puffs for your non-conference opponents.
But if you do lose in non-conference, you still can get in by controlling your own destiny.
Missouri could be playing Kansas and Illinois and Iowa in the preseason, games that would be of interest to people instead of Idaho and Connecticut.
Because if I'm Ohio State, I'm going, why the hell do we do that?
Yeah, they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. Made for a fun game for the whole country to watch that day, but it certainly cost them dearly.
And Auburn, I mean, people, they're a three-loss team. Well, they traveled to Clemson, and it's not like they got shipped off the field. I mean, how many casual fans are really aware of or remember a game that took place at this point 2.5 months ago? But they played a competitive game with Clemson, except they lost.
Well, if you're counting on the NCAA to do the right thing, you may be waiting for a while. Because a lot of what they do makes no sense whatsoever. And if you're gonna tack on another round of playoffs, how about you pay the players something, too? Here, you see this Jimbo Fisher, the money that he's got now. What do you got, $75 million? And you can't pay each player $5,000 over a course of a season or something? Of course you could. Of course you could.
There are other things at stake, and I don't think that has anything to do with adding a playoff game.
No,
and
it doesn't. But you'd be adding so much more money to the pot.
Well, that's why
these four bowl games suddenly would become a big deal.
But when you say don't expect the NCAA to do the right thing, they tend to do the thing that brings them in more money, and this seems like this is a money grab. They should be on board with doing it.
You would think it would make sense for everybody involved.
Let's see. Tim, you're a freaking genius. I love the idea, and I love you, bro. That's from the Sad Panda.
Stop it, Panda.
We should start doing the weekly rankings of the Tim Lemming. That's going to put Sad Panda at the top.
Right. You solved this problem by making the selection committee fly to Columbus today and look those Ohio State players in the eye. Bam, gerbil, you've got your playoff. The Wildwood Whisker Biscuit. Doug, I'm going to give a rare 7 o'clock hour text of the day.
But Wisconsin's got as good an argument as Alabama.
Yeah, that's the other thing about college football. If you lose late, the loss is worse than losing early.
They ran the table in a Power 5 conference, had to play a conference championship game, lost it barely, and so they're out in Alabama.
So the conference championship cost them.
Right.
The conference championship cost Auburn. Half of the teams that would have been in are now out. That happened with Missouri in 2007. And that's not my reasoning for it. Again, I want to, and maybe I'm wrong, because somebody could go, well, here's why your idea can't happen. I go, okay, well, then that was my idea, and it won't be happening. But this allows objective road to the championship, no question about it, for every school, not just Power 5 schools, by the way. And then also, you keep the debate of which at-large schools get in there. So therefore, if you don't win your conference championship, it still keeps you in the mix to win the national championship. Because oftentimes there have been conferences, yes, the SEC, but the Big Ten has also had this happen. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2006 where Ohio State and Michigan were both undefeated. You know, who's to say they shouldn't have been worthy of playing for a national championship? Now, the system was completely different then, but my point is
Sometimes you have two teams worthy of playing for a championship, and they get knocked out during the regular season, and that's just a matter of which perspective you like more. But I like the idea of having conference championships matter. There's no reason for these games not to matter. All you have to do is add the conference championships get in and the three at-larges get in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim, you solved it. I hate to sound like Sam Padgett.
I said it right before he did.
Yeah, but Tim said it better.
Okay. Of course. People have been saying this for a while. We didn't just make this up. People have been saying this. It just makes so much sense.
Tim had his notes. He had the schematics right here. Tim, this is Tim's idea.
You'd never heard that thrown out there before.
I had.
Of course. It just makes so much sense that it's amazing that they don't
do
something.
I just don't understand the people that are arguing against going to eight teams. Why would they be against it? Oh, those student athletes couldn't handle the workload of another
game. One more game for two teams.
I don't understand.
The two teams that make it to the finals, they'd have to play one more game.
And it's been done at another level, lower level, yes, where there are more teams, and it's
well,
been
the exact math is two more teams play another game, and then, excuse me, four more teams play another game, and then two more teams play another game. So that's...
Yeah, but everybody wants to play those extra games. Everybody wants in the playoffs. Everybody wants to play two more to be in the playoff.
And again, some people have said, well, like on Christmas, then you can't do it on Christmas because you're not going to have people traveling. You're not going to have people watching. And I don't believe you can move games to campuses. I mean, listen, in a vacuum, with money not being a factor, with cities not losing money, with conferences not losing money, that sounds lovely. But that's what happens oftentimes when you have writers working from the left side of the brain come up with utopian solutions that actually are not pragmatic. So this isn't going to happen. So from my standpoint, keep the conference championships, but then include three at-larges. And then with those three at-larges, have it in the system that if you have a top 15 undefeated non-power five, they are one of the at-larges. And then they're seated. And then if you think that team's crap, great. Then the number one overall is going to get to play some crap non-power five, or you could wind up having a hell of a Cinderella story. Let me tell you something. I'd love to see Clemson go up against UCF. I don't know what would wind up happening. I mean, logic would tell you that Clemson would ship them just because of their defense, but hell, I don't know. UCF's been putting up the shame of the whole thing with UCF. If I'm not mistaken, it was UCF. It might've been Memphis. Either way, it was a great game, fun game to watch. And that conference championship is UCF was supposed to play Georgia Tech. That would make sense. Why would it be Memphis? And it was canceled because of Hurricane Irma. Again, it's not like Georgia Tech is Alabama or Clemson or Georgia or Oklahoma, but they're a good team, and you would have gotten a better gauge on UCF. Now, would they have gotten into the top four? No, but if they had beaten the hell out of Georgia Tech, it would have given a little more credibility to their
teams like that season. Are fun to have in the mix. And if you can expand to eight and there are three at-larges, they have a shot at that. I mean, that'd be wonderful.
I think it'd be important, too, to keep those that extra round of playoffs at the bowl sites. Because if you start playing them on campus late December into January, then the weather becomes a huge factor in places like Wisconsin and Michigan, Ohio State, even here. I mean, that may throw a whole monkey wrench in if you're trying to play a college football game when you just had 10 inches of snow and ice and nobody can get there and nobody wants to go to the game. I think you're going to have to keep it at the bowl site.
You ever cover a 1AA playoff game in Missoula, Montana?
I wouldn't want to.
Okay, then shut it.
Wouldn't want to. Covered some in Minnesota, some high school playoff games when it was about
fun.
5 degrees. It's not fun.
Fun.
It's not fun.
Doug, who gets in this year in an 8-team playoff?
I think USC and Ohio State certainly get in. And then you just be adding one more, and that's probably... I'd be adding three more. Well, I'd be adding Ohio State and USC. Those are two. I'd take
So the five conference champions are in.
Right. And then
Oklahoma, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, USC are in.
So then you would add Alabama, Wisconsin, and I would say Central Florida.
If we adhere to the system, Central Florida, I would add Alabama. And for my money, again, this is a committee, so now this is where you get into the subjective part. I think Penn State is one of the eight best teams in the country. But I realize that's like that some people don't see it, and I understand. But as a college football nerd, that's a team that was like a minute and a half away from being undefeated, and that included two late losses to Ohio State on the road and Michigan State on the road.
And Wisconsin was a bad holding penalty away from possibly going 13-0.
I don't think the holding penalty was necessarily bad. I think the lack of the pass interference
that
down
too,
the field
on the same play.
So exactly.
They got two bad calls on the same play. That so may have kept them from running the table.
Would have negated it. And I think they would have experienced an absolute Miami Hurricane-like beating at the hands of Clemson. Boy, was that free money. My God, was that free money.
Yeah, Ohio State was just so much faster than Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm talking about Clemson-Miami.
Yeah, that too. But when I watched Ohio State and Wisconsin, I thought, how is Wisconsin even staying close? If JT Barrett was a little more accurate as a passer, that game would have been a blowout.
But, I mean, he had arthroscopic knee surgery 6 days beforehand.
That's an excuse.
Okay. Okay. Design Air is the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Design Air Heating and Cooling. We're all clients of Design Air. We recommend them to you. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owners. Design Air technicians don't work on commission. They provide fast and friendly maintenance or emergency service. Schedule your fall furnace check today at 314-739-1600. Doug, we ran good on the weather. It's over. It's going to be over around 10 o'clock tonight. Storms are coming in. Cold front comes in. It's over. But I can't complain about it happening on December 4th. We ran good.
Oh, we sure did. It's close to 70 today.
But now the winter weather starts to arrive, so make sure your home is ready. 739-1600, 314-739-1600. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Craig Mish on the latest on John Carlos Stanton in a matter of moments. Next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.